This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. I do not have my co-host on this podcast today, and I am not even all that sad about it because now we might actually be able to get through this without his interruptions, okay? Okay, I'm a little bit sad. I always like having Chad on here because he's got such a good perspective. He asked questions from, he usually asks some pretty thoughtful questions too that I'm always like, damn, that was a good question to ask. Why didn't I think of it? But we're going to have to just, we're going to have to manage without him today, Ryan. We're going to try power through this together, and we'll support one another along the way.
We got this. Okay. We got this.
what I'm not going to do is let the listeners down because, last year for the majority of the year, I kicked off every podcast with dad jokes because everybody loves a good dad joke, Ryan. And, I'm no different. I like them too, but we've moved on from that. We don't do that anymore. So this year I do something slightly different. And it's like, you've heard some of these metaphors or idioms, whatever people call them. Like it's, we did the first one was rising tide raises all ships, cut to the chase, like sayings like that you've heard. And you're always like, where the hell did that even come from? Throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so I thought, this is like the nerd side of me. Like I genuinely wonder sometimes like, where the heck did that even come from? Like the throw the baby out with the bathwater is the one that got me thinking about it years ago. I'm like, somebody explain to me what in the heck that means.
So, I still don't know what that means.
Well, it's an old school term where they used to, you have to put the, the tub used to be, have to be heated up like with a fire and they'd heat up the water and you'd have to, you put your baby in this, that's how they heated up the water in the tub. This is old school. And then, now it's dirty water. So you got to pick that little portable tub up and throw the water out, but you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So it was like some old school term on like the water's dirty. I can't remember what the heck exactly what it is. Well, we should add that one to the list on here. that's a old school. I mean, I should have because it's the first one that got me thinking about doing this thing in the first place. But we've done a few of them that have been good. And I have another one today. And I think this is going to be, I think this is going to be one that you're familiar with, Ryan. But first, what I do, I'll go ahead and give a quick introduction to our listeners too. I got Ryan Lee on here, who was who spent almost two decades. I guess maybe it was 2008 to 2019.
Yeah, 2007 to 2019 had my lighting business and still in the industry. So yeah, going on. 18, 19 years?
Majestic Outdoor Lighting, right? Majestic Outdoor Lighting was that company.
Yep.
Doing business coaching and the landscape lighting secrets, which you can see on your background. And man, you got the Light It Up Expo. This is coming up on year two of the event.
Yeah, just the second year coming up in a few weeks, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah. Well, it's before it. So, but I just, for those who are listening right now, this is not a whole episode around landscape lighting or outdoor lighting or any of that type of stuff too. It's more about the business of it because Ryan's done a lot of coaching with companies along the way and helped them generate millions of dollars. And so I'm always intrigued to hear somebody who kind of comes from outside the majority of our listener base, which is in that home services, HVAC, plumbing, electrical space, and just kind of hear what you've done. So I'm excited to kind of tap into that. I told you ahead of time, I have some genuine curiosity just around the business as a whole. One of my really, really good friends, one of my really close friends, Chris Hollister, Dexter, is what we like to call him. Yes, after the show, Dexter, has a landscape company, but does like hardscapes, and stuff like that. And he always asked me for business advice. I'm like, how can I scale this company? What else can I be doing? And I'm like, well, this is, if I'm him, this is something that he should lean into. You're already there. You're already doing these things. This seems like a natural thing to add to it. And I think maybe he is doing a variation of it, but not some of the scale that you've experienced. So like, I'm going to kind of think I kind of thought about this going through that path as if I was coaching him. But before we get there, I got to go over this first one. Okay. So this one is, and what I like to do, Ryan, is share with you what it's going to be. And then I want to go clear back to the beginning, the origination of this thing. Okay. And that's where it gets exciting. If you're a history buff, like I am, I enjoy the historical part of this. Okay. So it's a learning lesson for all of our listeners. And by the way, I actually, to the podcast producer in the room, I actually finally got somebody who reached out to me who liked the idioms part of this thing. This, nobody's done it. Like, usually I got a lot of people reaching out to me, Ryan, about the dad jokes.
Not so much
on this one. I had one person finally reach out. Now I've only done a couple of them. So, we got some work to do here. But this one this week is going to be, and you've heard this, sink or swim. We've heard that before, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure our listeners have heard the term sink or swim. Well, so this phrase dates back to the 14th century, a long time ago. It was in English usage, but it was literal roots go back actually even further than that. But like the first documented piece of this came from the 14th century, back in the medieval times, which meant, and this is kind of, when you hear the origination of this, you're going to be like, how did this make any damn sense? It's trial by water. Are you intrigued? Trial by water. So in medieval Europe, there was a legal practice called trial by ordeal. And then one method was ordeal by water. So listen to this dumb idea on how this came about. The accused was thrown into the water. If they sank, they were considered innocent. The water accepted them. I use air quotes. If they floated,
that sounds like you're guilty.
Hang on a second. Yeah. If they floated, they were considered guilty. And then the water rejected them. I use air quotes. I don't know that I quite understand this. Certainly the logic is flawed. To me, it seems that way. But this literal sink or swim, life or death test influenced the phrase's tone of forced survival. Listen, you can teach them everything. They got to do something with it, and it's sink or swim, right? I actually think that that was interesting because it made no sense to me. Like, who thought that up? In the 14th century, well, yeah, that's the best you came up with?
If you're innocent, you die? Is that what happens?
If you sink, you're innocent. Good for you. I think I'd rather be guilty in this instance because I floated and I survived. Yeah. Like, I don't know that, like, it seems like it's a lose-lose situation to me. Anyway, so I don't know that actually.
I think maybe, yeah, there's like another element that didn't make it into the book. It's like the sink, float, or swim. The guy who was guilty, innocent, whatever, the guy who figured out how to swim just swam to like another part of the island and started a new life.
I guess. I mean, who knows? I know. But to me, I'm thinking the same thing. Anyway, to me, it was like a bit of a letdown because it didn't make sense to me. I get using the term sink or swim makes sense to me, but the origination of it, I thought was pretty silly. Okay. Well, now we are all smarter. Okay. I'm not sure how much smarter, but now we all know something you probably didn't know. We know when you woke up today. So you're welcome. Okay, Ryan, you ready to get into this, buddy?
I'm ready.
I'm excited. Let's do it. Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. I kind of shared a little bit of your background and let's kind of look at the 30,000 foot view of Ryan Lee's background here and just kind of share with our listeners. So that way, when I ask these questions, they kind of understand where you're pulling from. I talked about your Majestic outdoor lighting business from 07 through 19, and then you exited from that. And then you went into the coaching side of things and you created an industry event and like, so you're doing all the things, but like, maybe let's just kind of talk a little bit about your come up into that. And then I'll lead into my first question.
Love it. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I love sharing my story. I love sharing my passion because I am super nerdy and super passionate about lighting, and people, when they see or hear landscape lighting, they think landscaping. So they're like, oh yeah, I got a brother-in-law that does landscaping. I'm like, no, but that's not it. I'm even more nerdy than that. Like, it's just lighting, outdoor lighting. Right. So, I actually goes back when I was going to school, I wanted to be the first one in my family to get a degree. This was back in the early 2000s. Right. And it wasn't because I thought an education was better than not having, I just thought I want to be the first one. Ed Mylett talks about the one, like, I wanted to be the one to change my family legacy. Right.
Yep.
So I go get a marketing degree. I get an MBA. I get a job that pays me $40,000 a year doing marketing. I'm like, what the freaking hell? Like, I wanted to change my family's legacy and I'm making 40 grand a year, right? And so I decide to move to Texas. My brother and I, we're going to do this window cleaning empire, okay? He's already living down there. I grew up in Utah. He was down there. I literally moved my wife down there. We have our brand new daughter. She's only 6 months old. We go down to Texas to buy a house. We bought a house literally like on our trip to find a house. We bought a house. We're in his hot tub celebrating. And every good story starts with a hot tub. We know this, right? And so we're in the hot tub celebrating. He goes, dude, when you get down here, it's going to be so awesome. When you get down here, let's talk about lighting. Let's talk about landscape lighting. I just did these two jobs for clients and they were $4,000 each. And I was like, well, what? Like someone spent $4,000 to put lights on their house? Like, that's crazy. Like, what does that mean? He's like, yeah, they light the house, the trees. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I start going and I ask him more questions. I go, wait a minute. I'd much rather sell a $4,000 landscape lighting job than a $250 window cleaning job. Like, how do we go into this? And literally that night, after we got out of the hot tub, we went and bought the domain Majestic Outdoor Lighting. So we literally started this company in a hot tub, not knowing anything about landscape lighting or holiday lighting or permanent lighting or anything like that. So that's how I got into the industry.
And you went to Utah? You went to Utah State. Okay, yep. That's right.
Up okay. In Logan.
I thought I saw that. Okay, so a couple dudes in the hot tub. You guys come up with a business, and you buy a domain, and now you're kind of off to the races. Now, you think $4,000 where my business brain immediately goes to is like what's the actual profitability of a $4,000 job? But we're gonna get into that because I want to understand.
Nah, I didn't care at the time. Our napkin math was like, okay, if we do three jobs a week. That's 12 grand. Yeah, you multiply that out by a year. That's around 600 grand. We'll probably spend a couple hundred grand in materials and we'll each split 400. That's 200 grand. That's a hell of a lot more than 40.
That's a lot more than 40.
That was my math at the time.
Yeah, sure. But actually, that sounds about like the math I would have done too. Quick math. Well, so maybe let's do this because you mentioned it. How you think, landscape lighting and people think landscaper and sorry for the interruption, listeners. I want to give a quick shout out to RhinoX 2026 keynote sponsor, ProBook AI. It's ProBook AI. You can check them out in the link below. ProBook AI finds the money you're losing without you having to do anything. It scans your books to catch missed invoices, underbilled jobs, leaks, all kinds of stuff. So let it do the hard work for you on finding out where you're leaking money. Thanks again to our keynote sponsor, RhinoX 2026 ProBook. Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate from the first Google search to the driveway. Prolific brand design can help you be more of you because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific Brand Design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific. I think that's probably the majority, right? Because they just hear that and that's all they think about. But there's so much more to it. Now, as a consumer who has purchased lighting on my home, not only the outdoor lighting, like the landscape lighting, but also the roofline lighting, the jellyfish lights, that stuff, because I was the guy hanging up Christmas lights along the roof lines. And I thought, I don't want to do that anymore. And my roof line is very long. So I invested in that and I love it. But maybe just explain to the listeners, what exactly is under the outdoor lighting, umbrella? Like, let's start there and then I'll go to question number two.
Cool. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So yeah, I wear a landscape lighting shirt on the plane, and people are like, oh yeah, they read landscaping, but in the landscape lighting umbrella, or let's call it exterior illumination. If you've seen, the show, which if you haven't seen the show, we probably can't be friends. Christmas Vacation. Christmas.
Oh, of course.
There's a scene where he's like, Dad, you taught me everything I know about exterior illumination.
That's right.
So it was like my goal in life. And my kids now say that to me. And I'm like, I think I won. I think I won, So It's landscape lighting, which is essentially lighting in the ground, uplighting trees, downlighting in trees, creating a moonlight effect. We do lighting like to uplight the front of your home. Really cool specialty lighting in outdoor living areas, in outdoor kitchens, around pools, like really just sexy, like better than resort lighting. And then there's holiday lighting, traditional holiday lighting, where you talked about where you hang those up and take them down every year. And then if you go next level, you're doing like wreaths and garland and really decorating it. Maybe you got nutcrackers by your front door, whatever. And then there's now the new permanent lighting that's really new in the last 3 to 5 years. And that's where you can leave it up year round. It changes for 4th of July and for Valentine's Day, game day wins. And of course, Christmas lighting and Halloween and those types of things.
I was just, while you were talking, I was just looking up. I have on my phone, an app full of apps, lighting apps from all the various things that I've got. Like I've got a whole slew of them in here.
That's awesome.
Because not like the jellyfish lights are the ones that were right underneath the soffit, right? Of the,
yeah,
the house, and they match right, yep, in. So you can't even tell they're there. And so, if you have an HOA, and you don't tell them, they blend in pretty damn good.
That's right.
I'm not.
The reason you get in trouble is if you leave them on and they're flashing different colors and it feels like a strip club, like your neighbor's probably going to complain. Right. That's, but if, fair, it's just changing colors for holidays and doing its thing for Christmas, people don't usually care.
No, I actually have some downlighting that come from mine that stay on and I'm pretty good, but my house is tucked back in. So, I live in a country club with very strict HOA rules, but because I'm in the very, very, very back, ain't nobody see my house except for me.
No one knows.
Unless they're listening to this podcast, which I'm sure they probably are, just to catch me. But you're I have a few lights. Yeah, I like that. I am done. But I have like I had all my lighting installed last year, and it was all the landscape lighting where I can now control all of it from my app, every color of it from my app, and so seasonally I have it all saved right for. Thanksgiving, for Halloween, for Christmas, and then just the regular, the regular lighting. That's kind of the soft lighting, which is what I like. But I can control each light individually. So, it makes it to where I can, have a little bit of fun with it too. It's not just normal lighting, during the holiday season.
Yeah.
So, what's like typical, well, it sounds like you got upset dogs right now. So if our listeners hear that, those are Ryan's upset dogs.
Get the dogs.
This is when you go on mute and you yell at somebody. I was literally
seriously, get the dogs.
I was in a meeting. Okay, this is real life. It's happening. I was in a meeting last week. I think it was last week or the week before with the CEO of Angie, Jeff Kipp. And at the house, and my youngest daughter walks in. I'm not normally at the house, but my youngest daughter walks in and she's like peeking around the corner, like into the conversation, and she's 11. And I'm like, and it's like now kind of annoying me because she's just sitting there staring. Now, to be fair, I am like sitting in the main area, the main kitchen area. But I'm like, hang on one second. I'm like, Fallon, can you get out of here? I'm having a meeting. And he just starts laughing. He's like, well, my 5-year-old's bound to come in here too. It's like, yeah, this is just real life.
Unfortunately, that's what it is. We got dogs barking, kids coming in and out. I'm like, maybe I should get an office, but I don't know. It's fun being at home.
No, it's all good, man. It doesn't bother me one bit. But okay, so let me hop back into this real quick. I want to understand a little bit more about that. I know what I paid for those things. And to me, I gladly paid for them because it works. It looks good. I got some customization to it. If I wanted to sell my home at some point in time, does it help with upsell? The reason I say yeah is it looks so dang good. Like the lighting looks so good at night when you pull up, like you're like, this thing looks amazing. You can make a house look so freaking good with right lighting on it. And then the lighting that I did, the jellyfish lighting along it, I think I spent like 10 grand on mine. Like it was, I did a lot. To me also worth it, cause it's now been 3 years in a row. I've not had to get up there and do that or pay somebody to come and do it. So, but help me understand like in regards to like the economics of this thing, like what's a typical for this type of a company? What's like a typical, profit margin for a company is like, do you guys have a margin that you run to like a 20%, a 30% or something like that? I don't know if there's an average in there somewhere.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, so an average ticket for landscape lighting. And so you got the three pillars, landscape, holiday, and permanent. I bleed landscape lighting. That's my favorite of all three. We help educate on the others and introduce manufacturers and all that stuff. But landscape lighting is my favorite, and partly because it's the hardest to get into. There's some perceived barriers of entry there. People aren't as good at marketing. So it's like, now you have an advantage. It's less commoditized. There's a design element, right? There's, you can't do much design element just measuring 150 feet across your house. Like, it's like, well, if some guy's half the price, why not just go with him, right? And so I like landscape lighting the most. So I'll share some of those numbers. The average ticket for landscape lighting is between $10,000 and $12,000. Now, you could do a small job and do 4,000, right? I've got a client that's working literally on a $1.5 million landscape lighting project right now. This is residential,
dang,
but he's in West Palm Beach. You know, there's a lot of billionaires there.
Yep.
So in Utah, you know, that's not the same. I think my client here, his average ticket is like $18,000 to $20,000. So there are different markets and variables and stuff like that. In terms of profit margin, you're usually looking at like 65% gross and 20 to 30% net, because I've got clients that are doing 32% right now. And then I've got others that are down at 12, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Some of it's just, they're bad at running a business and don't know their numbers. And then others are like, screw it, man, I'm in growth mode. Like they're not there to brag about their net right now. They're there to brag about how big they're building their business.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we built, thank you for sharing that. That's actually really interesting because I'm like genuinely curious, cause that's how my business brain works is,
yep.
You know, we took the stair step approach to business at Rhino. And when Anna and I were building it, and it was, you know, 1 year you spend, like we just spend to scale, you know, whether it be making sure you're staffed appropriately, if it's marketing, if it's a mixture of all the things, but you're spending that way that's your stair step up. And then it's, you know, you stay flat that next year, you minimize your spend, you let all the things you just did take place in that year. You might have some things that you spend on depending on what comes up, but you keep doing this. So it was like grow. And then when you do this, you know, your profitability starts to raise back up. So, yep. You know, then the year you're down, then the next year you're up. But it was the plan. It was the long-term plan of scaling the business, as we were completely okay with it. I didn't care about the next 2, 3, 4 years, you know, net profit, because I was trying to build the company. I'll worry about it when I hit 5 and 6 and 7. And yep. And that worked for us, right? Until you get to a spot where you can start to manage it differently. But that was a good initial approach for us.
I agree. I see a lot of people struggle with this, because you might listen on a podcast. Oh, I'm supposed to be at this. I'm supposed to be at that. Well, like, it's one thing if you're a well-established brand and people know who you are. Well, naturally you're going to have to, you don't have to spend as much on marketing,
yep.
You know? And so one of the things I teach on is really the lifetime value of a client. So like today, if I'm trying to acquire a $10,000 client, I'm trying to get you to spend 10 grand with me. Like, I'm willing to spend $1,500. In some cases, I might even spend 2 grand. It's like, if someone could give 2 grand to make 10, like, I probably would. I wouldn't want to. It's not going to be good for the bottom line. And maybe it causes some cash flow issues. So I don't want to just make a blanket statement, but me personally, I would be willing to spend 20%, right? Because I know what I can do on the back end. Whereas these other people, they're just acquiring that customer and they'll spend 10, 15% and then they're done. And it's like, well, no, that's just a one-time deal. What are you doing to like re-engage that client? Like, you did their front yard. Why aren't you doing their backyard 6 months later? How many referrals did you get out of it? Right. And so this was all stuff I learned along the way. I didn't know this when I started my lighting business. And so once I realized that, wow, the average lifetime value isn't 10,000, it's actually $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Like, that's incredible. And even though I thought when I started my lighting business, this wasn't a residual business, it's a one-time deal, so you better get your money. It's not. Because what I found is, again, they go front yard to backyard. Then you'd get their neighbor. Then all of a sudden, like a year or two later, they're like, hey, do you go out to Possum Kingdom Lake? Possum Kingdom Lake? Yeah, where's that? 2 hours away? Sure. Oh, you want your lake house done? Of course. Why didn't I think of that? And then like 3 years later, they sell their business. They're like, hey, we got a new house. You thought that house was nice? Look at this one. And so all of a sudden the average value goes up. So it was a $10,000 job. Now it turned into a $20,000 project at their house front and back. Then we did their lake house for 20. And then when they got their nice house, it was 40 grand. You know what I mean? So like, the lifetime value is where it's at. And we really capitalize that on that in the lighting industry.
Yeah, man, that makes so much sense to think about LTV like that. And most don't, right? Because they're so short-sighted on what that looks like. And It's just this, but some of it's a trained skill on how to ask for it or how to think about it. This actually is a perfect segue into where I was going to go with this is, sorry for the interruption, listeners. I want to give a quick shout out to our title sponsor of RhinoX 2026, Evoke AI. Also, a To The Point sponsor. We're grateful for them. In my opinion, the best AI answering service in the game that actually keeps a human being, US-based, in the loop. So if you hit zero, you can get to a human being. When I put these guys up against the other competitors, they won hands down. So again, shout out to our title sponsor for RhinoX and our TTP sponsor, Evoke AI, the best AI agent in the game. Check out the link below for Evoke AI in the show notes. To The Point listeners, listen up. What if the biggest thing holding back your business isn't marketing or hiring, but your bennies? The benefits for home service companies, a better 401k can be the difference between great techs and losing them to the shop right down the street. Basic Capital, our newest sponsor, is the only 401k built to actually put your team on a real path to retirement. Companies that switch over see higher participation, happier teams, and dramatically low turnover because your crew finally gets a plan that's a true benefit, not just a checkbox. Don't wait until your best people walk. Make the move and click the link below to get 12 months with zero employer fees when you join Basic Capital. The thing that gives me heartburn about project-based business is there's no recurring revenue. You know, and so my brain always goes to, well, how can I create recurring revenue in this? And even if it's, I think, like, to your point, is I'll use my friend's business again as an example. If he's putting in artificial turf, well, give yourself a reason to go back to this home, cleaning it, right? Once a quarter, whatever it is, it's, you know, oh, by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, you know, I added an extra, you know, $199, you know, annual like fee that I come back twice and clean it for you. And it's all part of it. Don't worry about it. I got it. Like something minuscule where there's a little bit of recurring revenue for it, but really you're just trying to get back there. So you have another chance to connect with them and you clean this, you know, the artificial turf, like, and, or whatever. This was just an example. Like, if I don't do any of this stuff, but I'm just trying to think, how can I generate some recurring revenue, but really to get back to the home?
We have that in the lighting industry. And here's what's, I don't know, this is a good conversation and I appreciate your perspective because I realize, like, especially when you start talking like private equity and stuff like that, like they don't want project based, they want the recurring, right?
Right.
And so in our world, we sell maintenance plans. Okay. We actually just recently changed the names from a maintenance plan to a protection plan. And so at one of our events, our members only event, we do what's called 10K ideas. Everyone in the room gets an opportunity to share a $10,000 idea that's not an idea, not a theory, but something they actually implemented in their business that helps them earn an additional $10,000. And so we had 40 people share a $10,000 idea. That's $400,000 of ideas. And some of them were way bigger than 10K, but minimum 10K. One of the guys, it was so simple, but it was the favorite of the group. It was like, don't call it a maintenance plan. When Best Buy started calling their things protection plans, they saw like a 30% increase in their profit or some crazy stat I can't remember, but we're like, duh, let's start calling it protection plans. But here's my thoughts on this. At least in the lighting world, and again, I've been wrong before. I'll probably be wrong a lot more times just by the end of today, right? But in a lighting world, we do make a lot of money because we're talking 20 to 30 points on $10,000. We're not talking 20 to 30 points on like a $700 pressure washing average ticket. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of money there. So we make our money on the project. So my whole goal with maintenance plans, which we now call protection plans, was actually just to retain that client. And I've gone on the record of saying this, like I'd be willing to break even on a protection plan just to maintain the relationship with that client, because now I have a wrapped van in their neighborhood 2 to 4 times a year, that's going to increase my chances of getting one of their neighbors to move forward with me. And we have real evidence of that. Now, if I'm going to sell my business to private equity, I'll probably change my stance a little bit on that. Like, let me show them how much profit I make on protection plans. But I just know the value of the high ticket that I want to, you know, really stay in front of.
Yeah. And you get another, you know, you get another shot at referrals.
Yeah,
man, you know, and if you forgot to get the review, which you should get the review, make sure you're getting the reviews too. God, this is interesting to me. So I'm an entrepreneur, man. So like, I'm like literally as you're saying it, glad my wife's not listening to this. Like my brain thinks like, God, how easy is it to build one of these things? And I think it's easier because I like have experienced it as a consumer on like feeling good about making that kind of a purchase. You know, I think my landscape lighting alone was like 18 grand or something like that. And then I added the other 10 for the, you know, the house. I'm almost $30,000 into lighting and I feel really good about it. It looks really awesome.
Isn't that cool? Like that's what I love about the lighting industry. Like we actually make people feel awesome. Like it's not like you have buyer's remorse. It's not, you know, HVAC, I'm probably going to piss the whole audience off right now, but HVAC, roofing, like all those things are awesome, but like people have to have them. Like people don't wake up and like, man, you know, what'd be cool is if I could drop like 25, 30 grand on a new unit. Like they don't really want to buy it. You know what I mean?
I guarantee you, right? You're not pissing anybody off. We talk about like, I'm in the roofing business. I have a roofing company. Ain't nobody want to damn have to pay for a roof. Like nobody.
Exactly. So it sucks. Like you're selling something that people, it sucks. Okay. Let's just agree on that. But lighting, like why do people go on vacation? Why do they go to Hawaii? Why do they go to Costa Rica? Why do they go to Europe? They don't have to go to these places, but they freaking want to. And they will spend five, 10 grand. And what's crazy, they'll spend that money for 7 days. You invested 30 grand, but you get to experience, literally an experience, not a product. You get to experience it every single night. You, when you pull up, you feel like a king, yeah. Right? Your house is lit now for security purposes. When you go in your backyard, you can chill and set the mood and relax and unwind so that maybe you had a stressful day, but you can relax and unwind. So maybe you're a little bit nicer to your kids. Maybe you're a little bit nicer to your spouse. It's so rewarding selling something and providing something that people want. And it pays off every single night.
I love it. Well, because I have, you know, like the big pocket doors that are all glass. So I can see out into my backyard. So I see all the lighting. And I do love so for cool. me, for me, it makes it. I think I learned this in my last house. It was like my first, like, house I was like really proud of. It was my last home. And when we did the lighting on it and remember pulling up to it, I was always so proud of pulling up to that house because of like, it just looks so damn good from the road. And I was like looking at all my neighbors' houses. I'm like, man, mine looks really, really good. So when I did this next house, I didn't even question it.
Literally at church 2 weeks ago, one of my neighbors, he's like cross corner. He's like, man, how does it feel to have the best lit house at night in the neighborhood? And I'm like, you know, it feels awesome. Like, to be honest, like I've been doing this for 18 years. It still doesn't get old. I like to drive in my neighborhood a certain way just so I could see my house.
I mean, I used to do that in my last house too. Yeah. There's two ways you can come in. One was coming like up off the hill and you're coming down. You could just see it like glowing down there at the bottom. It was so cool. Okay. I got to keep moving forward. I'm going to lose all my time and all my questions. But okay. Let's think about this for a second. Again, I'm asking this selfishly, Ryan. You know, when you've done a lot of coaching with some of these companies, have any of these been like brand new, straight up, like from scratch, like this is a brand new business and I need your help on what I'm doing. Have you coached from that perspective?
No, I mean, all of these were existing businesses. What I have helped is an existing business bolt on landscape.
That was even my second question. Okay. And I want to get to that. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to get to that. So, let's, if you today we're going to start your own, you know, you're starting out your own thing and it's called, you know, ABC, you know, landscape lighting, whatever. From off the top of your head, that first year, what do you think you would do in sales revenue? Knowing what you know, what do you think you would do in sales revenue? Ballpark, you're in Utah, but like, do you have an idea of what you think you could accomplish in 1 year, knowing what you know about this business and your own skill?
Yeah, all right. So am I brand new business brand new. Or do I have an existing
no brand base? Equity whatsoever? You're talking, you're brand new. Like you're okay. Somebody listening right now is thinking, holy shit, like I might add this thing. This might be an add-on service, or maybe I start one of these things.
Well, if it's an add-on service, that's a no-brainer. You literally send an email, a text, a phone call, a voicemail bomb to all your clients, right, and tell them you do outdoor lighting.
Yep.
And you're literally a couple of conversations away from bringing in 30, 40 grand a month, right? That's three or four jobs a month. Let's just say we don't have that. So, dude, I got four kids. If I didn't have, I've got an 11-year-old as well at home. She's my youngest. If I didn't have them, dude, I would have already done this. I want to go on YouTube. I want to film myself starting the business from ground up. And I don't want to do it with money. I want to do it with like this, the lowest budget possible, just my knowledge, me knocking doors, doing the hard stuff. But I, I think I can do $1 million in 8 months, because 8 months is about the time we have in Utah. With this year, we had 12 months. Like, we'd have an unfair advantage, but I think I could do it in 8 months. I honestly do.
Got it. And in that time frame, though, because of this protection plan, you're building a membership base that you can continue to go back to and work. So then you go into year two, and like you're starting to build a little bit of brand equity, depending on how you're going about it. But
the protection plans aren't going to be a huge portion of that first million, because again, like, we don't have that customer base. So I just got to hit the doors hard. So I'm going to go to, like, I mean, I'm right here. I'm in a nice area, but I'm not, like, I wouldn't knock doors in my neighborhood. I'm going to go the neighborhood next door, where these are the big boys.
Yep.
I mean, there's a difference between being like rich and wealthy, and you know what I mean? Like, there's different levels. So I'd go knock on their, I'd literally knock on their door and be like, who freaking built your house? Like, you have to introduce me to them. And by the way, who did your interior design? Like, your house is beautiful. This deserves to be on the cover of a magazine. Oh, who built your pool? And your landscaping is gorgeous. Oh, who did their artificial turf? I would go hit the network hard. And these referral partners, what's beautiful about them, you can get into these neighborhoods in the front door, because these people aren't going to go Google, hey, I'm looking for someone to spend $125,000 on my landscape lighting with. Who would that be? They're going to ask these people I just mentioned, right? Home automation companies. I would go hit up all these people who already have relationships, who say, listen, if you guys need someone to do your lighting, I got a guy. And that would be, because it'd be too hard to go sell like 200, $5,000 landscape lighting jobs. That traditional marketing is going to get you a lot of those. And I would do that too, but I wouldn't start there.
Got it. Now, have you had to, I mean, the add-on piece to me seems simple. I just am trying to understand the math of it. Like, would it make sense? What kind of staffing does that type of a business need? I don't know all those things. I'm going to have to go clear down that path, but
we can talk about it. Yeah.
Have you ever worked with like an HVAC or a plumbing company? Like, electrical seems like it would be an easy transition, because you could bucket it together. I mean, even though it might be low volt, it still could be bucketed together. But have you done this as an add-on or with any HVAC or plumbing, or know of who have done that with this? Because I don't ever hear that. I don't think I've ever heard someone in HVAC and plumbing bring this on as an additional service.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
I was talking to Dustin over at Any Hour. Yeah. They're here in Utah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, could we make that work? Like, could we actually like bolt this on, you know? And I think, I mean, you can do whatever you want. Anything's possible.
Oh my God, I take it back. Really, I take it back. I do know one. I know one.
You do?
And I'm going to see if you know who they are. And this is a guy who I really respect. He's down in Austin, Texas. His name is Bobby Jenkins, and he owns ABC. It's ABC down there. They're massive, and they do HVAC, plumbing, electrical, Christmas lights, garage doors, pest control, really? Landscape. They do everything. Look it up. He's down in Austin, Texas. His name is Bobby Jenkins. Awesome human being. But he does all these things. He's the only one that I know of that actually overlaps all this stuff. God, I did a podcast interview with him back in 2020, that long ago.
I don't know him. No, I think it would be a new thing.
Huge.
I mean, it's still a new thing for people to like grasp their mind that there's an industry and you can have a multi-million-dollar business with exterior lighting. It's just a foreign thing. It's my initiative in life. It's my mission right now to convince the world that we're like the ugly girl in middle school that's about to get hot. You know, that's what I truly feel like. Overlooked. Like, who cares? We can just go build like a $300 million HVAC company. Why would we do this? You know, it's like, well, that is true, but I'm with your help. I need the help of you, these other industries, to like suck us in, because the outdoor lighting industry is behind the times with just even mindset and like what's possible and automations and technology and all these things. So that's my goal. That's why we're talking.
I think it's shiny. There's so much being thrown out, from an AI perspective right now, that's kind of the distraction at the moment. But this is why we're doing this podcast. Is like, it's different than a normal podcast that I would do, but I think part of it is just, I'm opening people up to like considering, like, is there, like, it doesn't always need to be the same. Like, is there something that we can do differently? I mean, if you can, what's the biggest lighting business that you've worked with that's like straight up, you know, straight up lighting, whether it be a mixture of the landscape, the holiday, the permanent, whatever, like what's the biggest one that you've worked with? Just so our listeners have some perspective on the size of a business.
$5 million a year, only landscape lighting.
That's a great business. That's a great business. Now you might be sitting at the, you know, I'm not sure what it looks like as far as staffing on this stuff too, but if you're sitting at 20% on a $5 million business, that's not a bad living, you know. It's not a bad living. Yeah. I mean, or an add-on service.
I think where you got to go, if you want to add it on or not, it's not just something that's like, hey, let's just throw this on. That can get businesses into trouble. Like, and I've had some that reach out to me and like, dude, we love what you're doing. We found your podcast, blah, blah, blah. And like, they're not actually fully committed. If you're going to do it, you can't just be like, hey, electricians, while you're out there, like, see if they might want to do landscape lighting. And like, no, you need like someone who's like the hero, the champion to be like, no, I'm going to be the lighting guy. And they're going to get super specific and they're going to learn design and they're going to learn installation. And they're going to learn how to sell it. And like, because that's going to convey in the messaging. It's going to come across in the sales process. Like if it's on the side, yeah, you might be able to pick up some clients, but someone has to fall in love with it. Otherwise it's just going to end up becoming a nuisance and it's a waste of time. And it's like, why don't you just focus on like sell more, a couple more AC units instead, you know?
Yeah, you have to have a champion of that. We've had so many podcasts on when is the right time to add on another industry or another trade and how. Like so many of the Chad on here would have went down that path right away because he is multi-trade business with HVAC plumbing and electrical. Our roofing business is just roofing. It's not a part of his company. It's completely separate. But I'll tell you, in like winter, it's in Indianapolis, Indiana. So like we can't get on roofs. We ain't making any money. Right. So we're trying to look at alternatives. So we're doing installation, you know, things that we can do, while you can't get on a roof. And we were looking at so many of these roofing companies started offering holiday lighting, you know, and, none of us know how to do any of it. Like, it doesn't seem that complicated. I saw it get installed on my house. You know, it didn't seem that complicated. but I'm not passionate. Like I could go and talk about it from my perspective as a consumer, but as far as the business, like, and I don't want to own that piece, but someone would have to own that, you know, and then who's going to manage the installation piece of it? Like,
exactly.
So
you need to commit to a whole lighting division, a whole lighting brand. It has to be there and you will find the person. One thing people really like about outdoor lighting is it checks a box off. Like there's an artistic element to it. Whereas like electrical can just be like, man, I'm just doing the same thing every day over and over and over. Landscape lighting, like you get to like think, you get to like get creative, right? And come up with new ideas and concepts and you're meeting with new people with different budgets and stuff like that. And then what people really love about it is the impact. You know, like if you build a pool or a house, it takes 9 months to over a year. By the time you're done with the home builder, you're usually like, dude, these guys suck. You know, they've messed up so many things along the way. Most of these lighting installations, you can finish a $10,000 install in one day. So people are like, whoa, like you guys are the coolest people I've ever worked with in my life. It's cleaned up. There's not huge trenches in the grass. Like, how did you guys do this? They're like amazed. And so your client satisfaction score goes way up. That's pretty awesome. Like, you know, we're all in this for money, but at the end of the day, we're not. Like, who cares? Like, once you figure out how to make money, you're looking for something else. And so you find that champion that's like really enjoying that process. And that's what almost all my clients, they say the same thing. I'm like, so what do you love most about the lighting industry? Man, I love the look on my client's face when I turn the lights on. And it's like, every night you love that? Oh yeah. Like that's how they receive impact, is by providing this service that's badass. And I don't think anyone realized it when they got into it, that it was like, whoa, like it's so different than anything else out there, because it provides high level of customer satisfaction, highly profitable, high ticket, and people like love you and it's enjoyable. It gives you impact. Like that's kind of a rare thing to find.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants you to have to be at their house multiple days in a row. I mean I think when I put in my holiday lighting, I mean, they were there like half a day. It was, yep, pretty damn quick, you know? And, okay. So we're getting a little bit short on time, but I want to jump into this piece of it. Cause you mentioned, like these things making money, and part of what you've been able to do is help these companies like double their profits, most important word there. And it's because you have some proven sales and marketing like methods that you are probably your go-to that you, when you're coaching these companies, like these are the things that you're going to teach them. And then I don't know if there's an accountability layer to that too, or how it looks ongoing for coaching, but can you maybe just walk me through the how? Cause I think it was on the site, Ryan, that it said you helped, you know, clients generate over 50 something million dollars or 60 or somewhere in that number. So can we just touch on a couple of those real quick? And let's start with this, let's start with the sales side of it. Like, and you don't have to tell me everything that you do, but when you go and you say, okay, first thing I'm going to do is this is my sales coaching process. I'm going to look for this, or we're going to do this. Can you start me there? And then we'll go to marketing.
Sure. Yeah. I love it. Well, I'm just going to assume that everyone already has like good branding in place. Cause if they don't have good branding in place, that's a whole nother podcast episode.
Then you know who they need, right?
Yeah, exactly. We know a guy.
They're coming
to light it up.
They're coming Prolific. To light it up. Shout out to Prolific.
Cause literally like I've got so much love for that because like I can install the perfect sales process, which mine is not perfect, but it's damn close. But if you have weak branding and you don't have positioning, I call it positioning, like it's just an uphill battle at that point. So let's just assume that they've hired Prolific.
Got it. Okay.
And they're covered.
You got a great brand. Okay. Well, now we're go time.
Then let's just assume that they did a good job pre-qualifying. Okay. We got in front of our ideal client avatar. My sales process starts with what I call a price marinade. So I don't know. Let me ask you, you did lighting at your house. When they told you the price, was it higher or lower than you expected it to be?
It was higher. Sorry for the interruption, folks. Want to give a quick shout out to our Rhino X Day Session sponsor, Chirp. Also a To The Point sponsor, Chirp. Oh, I love Chirp. I love Ryan Finn. I love Justin Judd. Those guys are fantastic. The virtual ride-along game, they are the best. And they integrate directly in with ServiceTitan. What more could you ask for? These guys are the best of the best. Check out the link below in the show notes.
How much was the sticker shock? Were you like, damn, like I didn't know lighting could be $18,000. I thought it would be Costco prices plus $1,000 to install. Like what was your reaction?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was higher than I expected it to be, but not so high that I was like, yeah, this is absolutely not. It was like, okay, I just need to understand why, you know, it's the price. And once they explained it to me, it made sense.
All right, cool. You might be a little bit unique because you're a baller.
Well, remember, and that's what I'm saying. But remember, because the first house I did it on, I was kind of got used to it. So this next one, I have way more lighting than the previous house. So I knew in my head it was probably going to be a decent amount more. And so
we'll go back to the first time then.
That one I had sticker shock on. That one I for sure had sticker shock on because I'm thinking, man, I just used to put the little solar lights in my yard and these things lit up and they kind of sucked. But yeah, that one had some pain associated with it.
All right. So I forgot you had already had that done the one. So their sticker shock is going to exist. I have not invented a way to eliminate sticker shock. And so what we do is just lean into it. And we know you're going to have sticker shock. I mean, I've been at homes that are like $10 million homes, multiple exotic cars out in the front yard. And I tell them it's $25,000. And I was in Texas. They're literally like ready to shoot me. They're like, what the hell? Like, is that because we're a gated neighborhood? I mean, they just have to have the sticker shock. And so what we do is just lean into it with what I call a price marinade, where we give them the sticker shock, allow them to have the seizure and emotions and all that stuff, process it. And then we go in with a lower price later on. So they get the exact opposite of sticker shock, which we call sticker relief. So how this works, I show up to your house. I'm like, hey, Chris, I know on the phone, we told you an average job was, let's say your house was 18 grand, right? For landscape lighting. Hey, Chris, I know on the phone, we told you our average job is about 10 to 12, which is true, but your house is beautiful, man. Like whatever you're doing, keep doing it. I know other projects we've done similar to this have been as high as like 35, 40 grand. So I just wanted to totally be transparent with you. Okay. Does that sound about like what you're looking for?
Yes.
And so when you say that, people are like, hell no, that's not what I was looking for. On the phone, you said it was going to be 10. I'm like, no worries. I'm sure we can find something that fits within your budget. Let's walk the property and see really kind of what your goals are. I have no idea what you guys are looking to do. Let's walk your property to see what works best for you. But how much were you kind of thinking it was going to be? All right. And so when I ask that question, I'm really asking what's your budget without saying what's your budget. Yep. Because anyone who ever asks what's your budget, dude, they're not going to tell you, even if they knew their budget, they're not going to tell you. Right. So just don't ask stupid questions. Just tell them the number. Then after I say, hey, Chris, it could be as high as 35 to 40, you know, I told you on the phone 10 to 12, like, what would be your response? How much were you thinking it was going to be, Chris?
When you're saying, when you're asking me, good Lord, you guys feel this? Now I'm having issues in here. It sounds like there's all kinds of stuff going on in this office. Good grief. Sound like a,
I can't hear.
It felt like
you have dogs.
No, it felt like an earthquake is happening here. Holy shoot. Okay. You're going to have to ask me that question. You're going to have to position that question to me again, as if it's the first time I'm buying. You've asked me, you've given me the $30,000 to $40,000 number. And that's kind of,
I told you 30, 40. I said, how, and then, you know, let's walk your property. I'm sure we can find something that fits within your budget. How much were you expecting it would be?
You know, $10,000-$15,000.
Cool. No worries. Don't stress. I don't want you to shoot me. I don't want you to freak out. Let's find out. Cause like I said, I'm sure we can find something within your budget. Does that sound fair?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yep.
Cool. So what's important here is we take them out of the frame, out of the set that they're in right now, because they're in a state that is not good. Right. But I want to get that state over with. Cause what I don't want to do is do this beautiful presentation, get to the end and they go, well, it's just a lot more than we thought. Let give us some time to think about it. Let's talk it over. Like that's a, it's just like, I don't want to deal with that. So I'm going to allow you to do that now. And then I'm going to reset your state, get you walking your property. I'm going to talk about your dreams and what do you like to do? And how do you relax and unwind? Do you have a drink? Do you have a cigar? Like, what does your night look like? What does your day look like? What's your family life look like? Right. So get them out of that state. And then I'm going to actually separate myself. I'm going to send them into the house. Now we're in control. It's our own business. So even though we're dealing with these high profile, high caliber people, we have to take control. So we don't ask permission to come into their house. We say, listen, I'm going to go put the proposal together right now. That way you guys can make an informed decision if it's something you guys want to do or not. When I come in, do you want me to knock or is it okay if I just come in? So you're setting the stage. You're pre-explaining, you're pre-educating. This is how it works at our business. I know we're at your house and I'm asking permission, but I'm not asking permission to come in. I'm like, do I knock or is it okay if I come in? So they know you're coming in. Otherwise, they're going to meet you at the front door, close it right behind them and be like, so what are we looking at, right? So that's how the price marinade works. And what's cool, when they're in the house, what do you think they're talking about? They're not talking about what they're where they're going on vacation. They're going, that guy's nuts. If he thinks I'm spending 35, 40 grand, I'm literally going to kick him off our property, right? So then when you go in with the price marinade at high 35, 40, and I come in, and I do give you an option, by the way, that's 35 or 40, but then I give you a, you know, and I start with that one. This one's our like bells and whistles. Maybe you guys don't need this. Not sure. Just want to let you know, this is what the option is with warranties and everything. This is our most popular one. It's right at 18 and it comes with this, this, and this. And again, most people do this one. And then of course we have our more basic level, which starts at about 16. So 16, 18, 35, which works best for you, Chris? That is like a combination. I don't have time to get into all the details, yeah, sure. But that's a combination of our price marinade and our triple option where they work together.
Got it. So this is your sales process that includes overcoming objections that you know that are going to be there. There's a setup for it. There's the assumptive, we'll call up not an assumptive close, the assumptive invite into the home, which helps the sales process be more sticky. Like, got it. So you're taking them down this sales process. And then half of it too is how you talk to them, right? Like you're well-spoken, you understand how to talk to someone. And if you don't have that, well, you need to find the right person who has that. Cause you are kind of like selling. I think one thing you said that was interesting too, is this almost seems like it's a good job for a creative, right? Who can explain, you know, yep. The feeling of having the lighting and the way my brain went to is if I'm the guy walked around the yard and I'm the sales guy, I'm thinking, well, okay. Here's where all the lighting would be. Where do you not want it? And like, where would you not want the lighting? You know, if you're thinking about reducing the price, that's kind of where my head went to.
Yep.
I don't know.
That comes up later. Oh. I mean, so I lead with like, I just assume that the homeowner knows nothing. I mean, I'm a homeowner. I'm an ignorant homeowner too. If you're coming to my house selling me HVAC, are you kidding me? Like, what would I know? I know there's a thing outside and then there's a thing in the basement. Right. So like, we need to know that we are the expert. We are the guide. We are the trusted advisor. Sales, the term salespeople you know, it's dirty and used car sales, whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm proud to be a salesperson. Right. But if you need to call yourself a trusted advisor, a guide, a helper, like that's really what we're doing here. And so it's your moral obligation to show them what's possible. Because if they go, well, you know, we have $8,000 we want to spend, what can we do for that? It's like, it's going to look okay. Like, but if honestly, as a professional, I've been in the industry for, you know, almost 20 years. Would it be okay if I design on possibilities instead of price? Of course, they're going to be open to that. Right. And then, like you said, if you show them the wild thing at 40 grand and they don't want to do it, all right, well, what do you want to take out? So you can still get to their point, but I feel like it's our moral obligation as salespeople to show them what's possible because they don't know. They don't know, you know? And so, and I learned this the hard way too. This isn't stuff that's just like, I was born knowing this stuff. I learned the hard way because I listened to my clients because some other business coach or book said, listen to your clients. Well, like your clients just don't know jack. So why are you listening to them? Right. And so I would do it and they go, you know what? It's just, it doesn't look like your website. And I'm like, well, yeah, it doesn't look like our website because you didn't spend 45 grand. You spent eight. What do you want me to do here? And they're like, well, shouldn't you have like taken control? I'm like, damn it. You're right. I should have taken control. I should have been the expert. Why didn't I? So like all this stuff was learned along the way.
I love it. Well, listen, I mean, we're already 60 minutes into this freaking thing and I had four more questions left, but I wanted to let you go on that because you were on one and I actually was really enjoying that process. So I'm going to ask these next questions, but we're going to kind of do like a little bit of a lightning round. Okay.
I don't know what lightning means. I talk a lot. You can't shut me up.
Well, so we're going to have to do our best. Otherwise we're going to lose everybody. Once you get past an hour, it's hard to keep everybody engaged, but I want to ask the marketing side of this thing. So maybe give me as high level as you can. Like what are the, you know, what's the best, what if you can't cross market to existing customers, right? Like what have you seen be successful in marketing? Is it some grassroots stuff? Like what have you seen that's helpful for these guys to try and go out and market to get the opportunity to sell these customers? Sorry for the interruption. Listeners, I want to give a quick shout out to our evening sponsor at RhinoX 2026, Good Leap. I love Good Leap. They've been a sponsor for multiple years. They are the best financing option in the game. I know that Peterman Brothers uses them. Redbird Roofing uses them. Rhino has used them as their vendor partner because they're that dang good at getting contractors, clients approved. So thank you to Good Leap for being a sponsor yet again for RhinoX 2026. Check out their link below in the show notes.
Traditional marketing is awesome. Okay. So build a brand on social media. Again, I'm assuming your branding's in place, right? Email marketing, which I know, you know, Prolific does email marketing as well. Yep. Google ads, direct mail. Okay. Direct mail is not a game for the weak. Like you got to have some deep pockets because if you throw $5,000 at something and it doesn't work and you stop, well, then you just wasted money. But if you can put $5,000 a month behind it, you're going to make some money. Right. So all those things are great, but the secret, if you want to call it that, the big one where my top clients are getting these, they're going from average ticket to 10 grand to like 50 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand. Those are all through referral partners.
That's exactly where I was going.
So landscape architects, pool builders, home builders, home automation companies, interior designers, dude, interior designers. I've got one right now for a cabin I'm building. I don't even get to choose anything anymore. Like she just writes, like she decides everything. I'm like, what? I thought it was my place, right? So they control everything. If you get in with them, you're golden. And like you said, you looked out your back windows. They can extend the indoor living space by looking and turn those black mirrors that you got your glass windows. They're black mirrors with no lights back there. As soon as you get lighting, it extends the outdoor living space.
Yeah. So then you just totally, and then you just work out a referral deal with them. And that's what the partnership looks like, right? Like a standard, just referral partnership type of offer, whatever it is, like whatever works for your business. Perfect. That makes so much sense to me because that's actually the advice that I gave. It was like, you need to go and find some people to, you know, we have a buddy that does pools. Like I guarantee you he has opportunity there and vice versa, right? If you're going to do things. So working out referral partnerships is a big deal to do. And like the likelihood of it actually closing is significantly higher too. Dude, referral.
They're not asking like, well, how much is it? They're just like, so when can you get it done?
Yep.
higher quality leads, higher average ticket. No brainer. That's why I said if I was to start a lighting business here in Utah, I would just start with referral partners and then I'd turn on marketing to support it as well. But
yeah,
that's where I'd start. Yeah,
you still got to have cash flow, right? So go the grassroots, you know, the grassroots sweat equity route first, build some stuff. Yep,
exactly.
But you gotta have a good brand. So I'm going to go ahead and just finish with this. I'm going to just pivot real quick to the Light It Up Expo, because you started this thing, and I'm guessing it came from this love of that you have of building this thing and working with people. And then, you kind of said you're almost pioneering, trying to push this thing into the HVAC, plumbing, electrical, roof, like that conversation, to where now it's a part of these, you know, it's a part of the consideration of a trade line, you know, or a service offering for these businesses. So I respect that. And hopefully we're able to do that with this podcast. But you started the Light It Up Expo. This is, we talked about earlier on, this is year two. Thank you for having a prolific come to this. And Zach will do a fantastic job speaking for you. He's a great speaker. You got to spend some time chatting with him. So thank you for doing that and letting us be a part of it. But maybe just say, why did you do it and what's your hope to get from it?
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to having Zach there. I mean, I looked at Zach when I first met. I'm like, is he going to be able to deliver? And like 2 minutes in, I'm like, oh, this guy's got it. So excited to have him there. So the reason I started Light Up Expo is because, quite frankly, it was needed in the industry. It didn't exist. If you wanted to learn about how to install landscape lighting in the past, you might be lucky if a manufacturer was thrown on a training. Few years ago, I started doing my own in-person trainings because, again, I didn't want to teach people how to design and install, but there wasn't anyone teaching that, right? I just wanted to teach people how to scale their business, teach them my proven pricing, sales, marketing strategies. Like, let's go, right? But then all of a sudden, I had people reaching out from the permanent lighting side and the holiday lighting side. And now there's even another thing, which I'll just kind of throw a wrench in there, outdoor audio, okay? So at this event, we have hands-on training where people can actually learn how to do their very first install, right? So they're going to walk away and be like, oh, dude, I got this. This is actually more simple than I thought, right? And then we basically are bringing in this in one room, all the manufacturers, all the distributors, all the service providers, which we'll call like Prolific's going to be there. There's AI companies, marketing companies, recruiting companies. So anything that you will actually need in your business at any point in time to help you grow is going to be in that room. And it just didn't exist. I mean, there's a couple organizations that are out there in the outdoor lighting world. They've been around for 25 years. They don't have 150 members. We've already sold over 215 tickets to Light It Up, and it's our second year. Next year, we'll have 500. The year after that, we'll have 1,000. So someone needed to come in and lay the groundwork. Someone had to put something together that had training, that had experts, that had the speakers, that had the networking, that had the trade show. So that's why I did it. And what I'm hoping to get out of it is I'm trying to bring these communities together because there's so much overlap. There's people that are doing landscape lighting that didn't know about permanent lighting. How do I do that? How do I bolt that on? There's people that were doing permanent that didn't know how to do landscape lighting, right? And then now, again, a kind of a new category. It's not new, but it's new to a lot of people, is the outdoor audio. So we've almost filled up that training. And I think we announced it 5 days ago, and it's almost full. So really, really cool stuff. I just like bringing people together. I like being a connector. And my mission is to convince the world that lighting is where it's at. And it's such an awesome, awesome opportunity. I mean, I would say less than 5% of like homes that should have professional lighting on them don't. I mean, you can go into really nice gated neighborhoods and they still have the Costco solar lights. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm just stoked, man. I love this industry. I'm super passionate about it. And anytime I can help someone better their life by helping them make more money, buy back their time, replace themselves, like that's my mission. So,
well, I'm excited because I'm going to go and check it out. Like, you know, I have, I've got one day that I can be there and then I got to go to yours is in Orlando. Are you in Orlando? Right.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. The other one I got to
Orlando. It's like 3 through 6. Hopefully you're coming on like 5 or 6.
I don't remember which day I'm there. But cause I have to go down to Miami for a speaking event I got to go do. But I'll be there nonetheless. I'm excited to check it out. And you still have you sold out and then you add a little bit more, some more tickets. So, which is very cool. So now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I need to have my friend Chris go to this thing. you know, because that's who I've been thinking about is with his you know, landscape business, his hardscapes, and he's, you know, building pergolas and, you know, barbecues and all this other stuff.
Yeah, he should totally come.
Yeah, and then when you talk about teaching the install piece of it, it's like, you know, he could consume so much that way. And he's kind of got the creative piece to it. He knows how to, like, you know, like, so he's got it. And he just needs, like, the help with the business side of it. So this is like the perfect event for someone like him to go to.
It totally is. He should come, but literally there's no like homie hookup. It's not like a fake scarcity and urgency. It's not a massive hotel. There's only so many seats. So if people miss out, I'm like, I still love you, but just come next year.
Yeah. And you have a wait list. That's cool too, babe. But I mean, I love that you at least made the effort, you know, after you sold out to make it a little bit, but it's pretty cool, man. The people that you had to ask, right? Like you could try to get more people in there. I think it's pretty neat. And
it is cool. Yeah.
And it's all about exterior illumination and now a little bit of audio. Exterior audio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to be one, you know, thanks for, you know, giving me over, you know, an hour on this podcast. It flew by me because we covered so much cool stuff. I'm genuinely interested in it. I hope that our listeners are too, like, and they say like, wow, okay, maybe this is something we should really consider. What if somebody wants to reach out to you? Would you mind just sharing best contact information for you, Ryan?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm on social media, Instagram at Landscape Lighting Secrets, on Facebook, Ryan Lee. And you know, you can just email us support@ryanleecoaching.com. But yeah, once you find me on social media, I've got a podcast as well. I can send you a link and, just reach out personally.
What's the name of the podcast?
Lighting for Profits.
Lighting for Profits. Go check it out. Then you can get this stuff on the regular. So, well, listen, man, I appreciate
it. I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it, but I'm actually the host of the number one landscape lighting podcast in the world. So, yeah.
Oh, this, okay. Just going to, you know, casually toss that out there.
It's the only landscape lighting podcast in the world, but still it's the number one.
Run with it. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing everything too. I'm excited about it, man. I'm glad we're able to make it happen pretty quick and before your event. So hopefully this helps kind of add a few more seats to it, you know, from people in my world, you know, and can go and check things out. And, especially if you're in Florida, like you got no damn excuse, like get over there and go check it out.
For real.
I appreciate that. I appreciate all the information on this too. And like, you know, kind of giving a little bit, you know, of the sales tactics. I'm sure there's a much deeper dive that you can go into that, and especially with marketing, but you can't get into all that stuff, right? That's what the coaching's for, or come to the event and check it out yourself. But appreciate you giving us your time, Ryan.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you having me.
Yep. And to our listeners, like I always say, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.